Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to the season finale of season four of For the Record, and it's going to be a doozy, if you will. Hopefully we're going to have a ton of fun. I know we are. We have with us the guest I have waited for since day one of For the Record. I have thought about this every day. Let's hope I don't screw it up. But we have here today with us the queen of aesthetics, our own T. Swift, our own Beyonce, Erica Berry, who is a nurse practitioner that if you don't know her, you probably live underneath a rock somewhere, and we're going to dig you out of that hole. But she is the face of our industry. She's part of Moksha Aesthetics, Aesthetic Intel, Patreon. Let's see what else. Injectors Club. She has her own training thing going. She has Injector Bunny. She's at conferences everywhere. She's a national trainer. She is probably the person who sets the tone for all that we do. We all watch her life with bated breath of what will come next. And she's here with us today, and I'm so excited. And we also have with her her trusted sidekick, the person behind the brands who has made, I don't know, the social splash of the century and has really helped Erica to grow her brand and is now growing her own brand with her own Patreon channel. She is a wealth of knowledge, came to Aesthetic Next last year and shared many of her social media pearls. She's capturing content every day at Moksha, doing all the things. Again, couldn't have done, I mean, literally, I look at your stuff every day, Libby, and think, how could I do what she does? And I can't. But with us today, the other queen, Libby Dysart. So you guys, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited. Yay. We're so pumped. We've been waiting for this day. We look up to you so much, and you are just the queen of queens, and you inspire so many people. So just being around you makes us feel better.
And we're so excited for Aesthetic Next this year.
It's like the Oscars. You really are the Oscars. Like, I don't know. Like, I know you probably can tell us like the road that got you here, but everyone's like, you can't miss it. Like, it is just the thing of the year that everyone gets dressed up for. They get their outfits for. Like, for me, I try to do a different outfit for every talk and every event, but you really have captivated all the conferences, and you are just the queen. We bow down to you.
I know, it's literally like Aesthetic Fashion Week is Aesthetic Next. Honestly, you should have an event called like Aesthetic Fashion Week, AFW.
We should. We could have like a little picture station where you come and get your picture made. So we have this thing here, the Barbie, like Barbie experiences here. And she has all of her little Barbie rooms where you can like get your little photo in front of her Barbie ski and Barbie teacher and Barbie doctor. We should have that like for photos, just for everyone in their all their fashions for the week. Brilliant idea.
That's brilliant. That's such a good idea.
Well, you two are the queen. Forget me. I'm just here as a spectator. I talk about you guys on the podcast all the time. You probably have heard that from people, because I'm just in awe of how you guys do what you do. I mean, you're everywhere. You're right now in two different cities. You're both probably busier than I can even imagine. I'm pretty darn busy, but you're both really busy. And you have grown these brands to just this monumental thing. We talk about a lot here. People aren't really famous. Like, you're famous in aesthetics, but not like really famous. I feel like you guys are like famous. It's probably just me, you know, looking from the outside in. But I have so many questions about how you do it and how you got to this point. And Erica, I mean, you're Johns Hopkins trained. You know, you're like a legit nurse practitioner who's done a lot of things, but now you're really a social media icon, but also a personality. And so I want to kind of start there for both of you, looking at Erica's brand. How did you become Injector Bunny, and how did you take the seriousness of being like a nurse practitioner and being medical and turn it into this like really fun, approachable persona?
Yeah, well, I have to really thank Libby for that one. I started in the hospital, so it's hospital-based. Graduated from Hopkins, went to UCSF, worked for plastic surgeons, worked for urologists, and then kind of was thrown into injecting. I didn't want to be an injector, wasn't like really trained. It wasn't like this training courses that we have now. It was like see one, do one, teach one mentality. And then in the hospital, you just were handed patients. You didn't have to work for them. And then I moved from San Francisco back to DC, and I started in med spas, and I was so perplexed by like, wait, I have to get my own patients. Like, wait, I'm commission based. Like, it was very perplexing, that whole like jump. So then I started my Instagram. That was back in, I think, 2015. And then I just noticed the more I posted memes and funny, relatable things and videos of me injecting, it kind of broke the barrier when people came in. They weren't nervous about Botox or filler, because I'd shown it. They'd come in and be like, Erica, I want this. And it was just kind of helped my consultation practice and the whole kind of bridge to I'm scared I don't know you to I know who your husband is, I know where you honeymooned, I know I had just gotten married then. So I think it was just, it was a nice thing. And then I saw it grow and grow. And then I met Libby and she was like, you're not doing enough. You're just like, I would, you know, take off a couple of days. She's like, you need to continually flood people with who you are. And then I just have no shame. I'm like, I'm that person that like, I'm drinking a green drink right now. And I think I have like food in my teeth, but like, I don't care. Like if I have food in my teeth right now, I would laugh. Like I really don't get bothered by things. And I think that's the game. That's the game of aesthetics and social media, is you have to like take your, you know, give a shit cap off and get real. And people love the realness. Cause you know, aesthetics can be a rough game, and people can be really fake and knock you down and tear you down. And I just decided from day one, that's not going to be me. I'm going to be the bunny train, like get on the train, get off the train, but get on the train. And like, there's seats for everybody and there's room for everybody and we'll figure out your role. But like, I'm just a train. I'm just going to keep on going. And that's my mentality. And then Libby just, you know, always tells me like, no, that's inappropriate. Don't post that. Or like, no, that's not funny. Or like you spelled masseter wrong or like things like that. She really helps me just keep it real too. She's 10 years younger than me. So really helps me with pop culture and Taylor Swift and like knowing what to do. So Libby, how did you do it?
Well, I think the first thing my mind goes to, Erica, is when people ask about Injector Bunny and where that kind of came from, that name. And it's a story that's unique to Erica. And I think that that's a lot of reason behind why brands kind of take off or become successful. It's just like being authentic and embracing who you are, taking that part of you and then turning it into something or making it something special. She didn't choose Bunny like randomly. She was, people always ask why Bunny? So with the Bunny name, she actually used to be called Bunny, right? Erica, correct me if I'm wrong. When she was growing up, because she has she had some buck teeth. And so that was kind of just
still do like ready for my veneers. Like Shout out to all the cosmetic dentists out there. Hit us up because I'm ready for my buck teeth to go. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. And I think it played well with when she first started out. Your handle was Botox Bunny when I first met you, right?
It was, I started day one, Botox Bunny.
Yeah. So the two B's, the alliteration, that always helps, you know, love a good handle. Not only is your Instagram handle like so important for just being online and having something that's like easily memorable and searchable, but it's going to really, in a lot of ways now, mold into or meld into whatever your brand and your business and your life really. And so it's important to have something that you like and something that people remember and that goes and flows well. And so she chose Botox Bunny, and a lot of people at first were like, who's this bunny girl? But eventually it kind of, you know, spurred a lot of creativity from the start. I mean, we created a logo of like a little bunny and like a little syringe, like, you know, kind of cute stuff like that. But it gives you more of a base to start at than just something more generic in her brand. But
I think this is lesson number one. Didn't mean to interrupt you, but like people identify with you, not your office. When people have their office as their handle, I'm like, no. No one cares about your office. Think about Michael Jordan. Think about Nike. People associate Michael Jordan with Nike. That's like the whole Air Force One and his shoes. So I think that's really important for injectors to know, like, stop hiding behind your office name. Make your handle so easy to spell, like Injector Bunny. Everyone can spell that. Your 14-year-old daughter can spell that. Like, anyone can spell that. If it is a very complex name, Libby and I always were like, do not have a complex name. Easy to spell, not your business name. Something fun and easy.
Yeah, but you know, I agree with you so much. And I think about 2015 on the scene, I think I met you or knew about you in like 2016, maybe early 2016. And you had the Botox Bunny name and who that was, but you weren't like this, you know, mega star quite yet. But at what point, I mean, did you think to yourself, I should get a logo? Like, who thinks about that? I should get a logo. I need to have a brand. Like, did you just have the foresight to think about that? Did Libby come on the scene and was like, hey, let's make this into a huge thing? Or at what point did you decide, I'm going to become an injector and work in the injection world, but also one day I'm going to like wake up and become a personality? Like, when does that happen for somebody?
It doesn't. I really believe in organic flow, and that's where it's hard for people when they're like, I just want to do this. I'm like, it's organic. And Libby started my Patreon. That was like 2017, because I remember we're sitting, we get our extensions done at the same place. Tanya, our amazing hair genius, but we were sitting there and I was answering all these DMs, and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, this person wants to know like how I did this cheek or how I filled this. She's like, no, use this platform, Patreon, which is actually a gamer's platform. But Libby's the reason why Patreon even exists. And she's the reason why so many injectors have their Patreons. I don't think people know the origin of that. And I think it's organic flow. That's why you do one thing at a time. Like when Libby and I have something we have to do for Allergan or Galderma, they give us this huge pile of work. And we're like, okay, we're going to start with one issue at a time, one story frame. So it's one thing at a time versus people give up because it's too much. Like a brand is so overcoming. Like people can't even conceptualize what that means. One day at a time and just let it organically flow. The moment you make it fake and inauthentic, right? People know it. They can smell it. So I say just go slow with it. It takes years. Say it took us, what, 3 years to even get rolling. So when people say they want a brand in 2 months, I'm like, no, you're looking at years. Give it years, not months, years.
Yeah, and I think for businesses versus an individual, it's obviously way different. When you're creating a med spa, you want to have a logo, you want to have a website, you want to have all these things because that's just necessary in order to share information about yourself and your services. And we had a we worked at a med spa at that point, but we didn't own a med spa. And Erica owns her own practice now, so we are able to use that website for some of her stuff. But a lot of it, that's dedicated to her business as an entity, and seeing patients and patient care and safety and all of that. And it's really dedicated to our injectors that Erica and her co-owner of her or business partner that they employ, those, that's really a platform for them to use. And but for Erica's personal business, I think there was the moment when it started to be that we got the same question over and over from so many people, whether it was about a technique or whether it was about like when Erica was going to be, she started doing trainings, which was obviously reaching more and more people in the industry already that wanted to come and train with her because they would see her often on social media posting her amazing work and people loved it. So they wanted to, get in and have them train her. But in order to make your life easier, you can't just answer every question all the time. I mean, there is no way. So we created a website for her in order to basically point people in one area, like, okay, here are Erica's upcoming trainings that you have here. And, so it wasn't like we came up with Injector Bunny or Botox Bunny at first, and then we're like, let's create a logo right here, right now. Like that would be so weird. I mean, we didn't, she was, no one at first. And but eventually, once you start posting and then so many people want to ask you questions or train with you or talk to you, you really have to create an area for them all to go. And Instagram is great, and she does a lot of communication with so many people on the platform, but we needed a area to point people, and then obviously like to collect payment for trainings and things like that. And also like legal wise, like we needed to have just like consents and stuff like that for people that we are engaging in business with and stuff along those lines. So and then once you're starting to build your website, I just use Squarespace. I have a little bit of experience building websites, but used a pre-existing template. And like in order for it to look good, they're like, hey, you should put your logo in here. And I'm like, oh, we don't have a logo. So then I figure out, I have experience working on Canva, which is like a graphic design website that's great, has a lot of pre-existing templates and logos that you can like.
Everyone needs Canva. Every injector needs Canva. It just download it. Pay the money.
We created one, but we don't really use it that often. I mean, her logo is really her handle and her name and herself, like a photo of her. So, we're not trying to like blast Injector Bunny merch like with the logo every, well, we are.
But that's cool. I think that's the difference now in 2024 versus when I started in aesthetics 10 years ago. Every injector owns their own business now. Even if you don't own the practice, you own your handle. You own your like entity. You own your hands. And I think that's so cool. It gives everyone that advantage where I know a lot of business owners don't love that. I'm like, sorry, like all that's why I say Moksha, we are just a brothel of injectors. You come, you bring your own expertise, we train you, we house you, we feed you with your malpractice and supplies, but you have your own authentic self. And I think that's the difference. And I think when people empower other women, especially, I want everyone to be a business owner. Every single one of my instructors every day, I'm like, get your own handle, get your own LLC. I want you to have your own business in 5 years. And that's, I think, changed the game. I hopefully more owners can be that way, because that's a huge thing.
I want to like take a second for that, because I look at the salon industry. You guys mentioned getting extensions. If you go to a salon, they all rent their booth. They're under a salon name of some sort, but they are like individual entities within that salon who, you know, wear that name on their back as if they, because they work there, but they're all their own people. And we've thought that was okay for like 100 years, but you come to aesthetics and we're all like, gosh, they have to work for me and use my handle as their name and use my this and use my that. It's like, it works in other industries to do it a different way. It's worked for a long time. Why can't we do it here? Just say you have to still work for our brand, but you are your own entity. You can get, go get your own patients. You can get patients for our whole team. We can recruit back and forth with each other, with our esthetician, with the injectors, but you're your own entity. I feel like we make a different role here. I don't know why we do that, but real quick on the one thing that you said about you didn't start with the brand in mind. I love that, because I have so many people who start their injection career here and they call me and say, I'm going to be an influencer. I'm like, wait a minute, you aren't even injecting yet. What do you mean you're going to be an influencer? Like they start out here on day one saying, I'm going to build my whole brand to get famous at this. I'm like, why don't you learn how to inject first and get some really good results? And if you're really good, it will just naturally sort of progress in that direction. But I think now, different than maybe 2016, people have it maybe a little bit backward than how we all started.
Well, I have to say, I still don't consider myself an influencer, and that's the secret. I consider myself a trainer, an educator, you know, but I don't think the moment you're like, I'm an influencer, I'm like, meh. I don't know. I think you gotta be careful with that. I think you gotta go out with the mindset of, I want to help other people. And honestly, it's selfish. I'm selfish because I feel really good when I make someone a better injector, a better business owner, a happier person. Like that feeds me and that makes me so happy. So yeah, don't be an influencer. I don't get what that means. Like, I'm like, it's like fake celebrity status. I'm like, oh, so your favorite is on Instagram? Like you probably bought your followers. So who cares?
I mean, too. I definitely categorize Erica as an influencer. because just of her, like generally you take the word influencer and it describes what she does and what a lot of people do. Like even I can be influencing on social media. It doesn't really matter. That's not her business. Her business isn't influencing, but she's de facto an influencer just by, her commitment to the industry and how much she works and how much it's not even her social media. If you aren't going to be interactive with your community, like there's no point in trying to build a community if you're not going to interact and engage with them, especially in 2024. This year is all about like not just like building a community, but actually cultivating it and like being involved in your community. Like you can't just have a community of people, of followers, of fans or whoever that just like they're not just going to keep existing. And so that's the hardest part is honestly, and that's something Erica is so good at, is keeping up as fast as she can with so many people all the time. Like she gives everyone her phone number. She responds to as many DMs as she can, both on Patreon and on Instagram. And I think, you know, it naturally progressed to a point where obviously Instagram is past the point where she can't keep up with all 300,000 of her followers, but subtle flex throwing in her following number there. Yes. But that's why we've had to create other communities and other ways to interact with people and almost like outsource too. Like I'm, you know, Erica's person in a way and in a lot of sense of the word. both like as one of her best friends and also, you know, working with her and helping her brand always. And so, you know, people talk to me and feel like they're talking to Erica. So I think just like having people who you like, she works with so many people too. Like, and I know you mentioned this in your questions, like working with Wasim and working with like Shakira and just like all these different people in different parts of the industry that she partners with that can just also be kind of a way for like they also have their own following and stuff like that, but also just like another arm of Erica, if that makes sense, and just like helping overall in a sense of like creating this bigger community that, you know, we're all able to kind of talk to each other and yeah, get along and know each other and all of that. So
love it.
It's funny when you're at Aesthetic Next, I don't know if it was last year, I don't know what year it was, it's like the line that forms around you. And I think about that all the time. You know, I know a lot of people and I'm in a lot of rooms doing a lot of important things for the industry, making a lot of decisions that matter, but not where people see it, right? It's not public. It's not like the fanfare. It's like, I might have done the thing, but no one would even know about it. And I think about the pressure of that all the time, of like just knowing that when we launch products for companies, like I'm thinking about their marketing and who they're going to reach out to and what the reps were going to do. And there's pressure in that. I think about you. It's like in your face all the time. You go somewhere, everyone's like, Erica's here. And they run up and they want to get a picture with you. And, you know, they have to wait in line for 10 minutes. And then it's like they wait in line for another hour. And then it's maybe a whole other hour. And they're following you around like crazy. It's like the Beatles. How do you live with that? Because that would make me insane. I would lose my shit if that were me. How do you do all of that and still stay poised and get on stage on time and you have your lectures all done and, you know, you maintain the Erica Berryness without any of that like ever getting to you or making you flustered or anything? So I don't know how you survive that, because I really think people don't think about that part, that when you get to the level that you're at, everyone wants to be around you, wants a piece of you. And it's hard to decipher like who's really here because they want to be with you and they need things, you know, professional, business, whatever it is. And those who are just like, I need to get a picture and a selfie for my Instagram.
Yeah. It's awkward. It like brings tears to my eyes. It's such an honor and a privilege to even be in this position. And I have imposter syndrome, right? So I think that helps. Like, I don't feel worthy of it ever. And I feel like always surprised and just like, wow. And I just, it's an honor. And it's just, again, I don't even know why, because I feel like most of the time I'm doing things and I'm like, oh shoot, I said the wrong name, or I said this wrong, or I did this wrong. But I think that's the secret. Right. And I'm very big into like the power of being present. So for me, I think being there in that moment, which is a good thing and a bad thing, where I have a child and I have a husband, a family, but when I'm there at Aesthetic Next, nothing else exists. When I'm talking to someone, no one else exists, and they feel that, and that's the truth. And I block everything out, and that's the power of presence in 2024 is very rare. Everyone's on their cell phones, everyone's different areas, right? And then being powerful too, like being confident and transferring that power to another injector, and then being warm. I think being warm and like sympathetic and hearing people and their woes. And I just had a Patreon person text me that she's just diagnosed with breast cancer, and like, it's an honor to be in that position. So I don't even get flustered, because I don't allow myself to, because that is so disrespectful to even be flustered, because I've given this opportunity and I have this privilege. So how dare I ever say I'm tired, act overwhelmed. Whenever I do, Libby definitely hears it, and she's my protector. Cause if it was up to me, I would say yes to everything and I'd be all over the world. And my number one priority is always my husband and my child, number one. And then I don't care about me. I don't need to sleep. I don't need to eat. I just go, go, go. But Libby is very good at being like, no, you're not doing this. That doesn't make sense for you to fly to Albuquerque today. You're going to instead do this and this and this, and then we'll figure out a way. But yeah, I guess Libby's the answer to all my questions. But I just think taking that honor, because I think people get overwhelmed. I'm like, yeah, do you know how many people would die to be overwhelmed and in your shoes? So stop complaining. Stop whining. Like, get up, work harder. And that is the secret.
I could not agree with that more. If you want it, go get it. I believe that so firmly. The only person that's in your way is you. If you want it bad enough, you will find the way to get it done. I don't sleep either. I know that you're always awake when I'm awake. You go to bed earlier than I do, though. I think you wake up really early. I don't wake up early. But I just feel like you got to work. I mean, in 2024, you just got to get the thing done. No one's going to hand you anything. You got to earn it. You got to go do it. Nothing is fast. I mean, it just takes time, and you have to put yourself into it and give up things. I give time to my kid all the time. I'm sure you feel the same way. Even no matter what we do, it still feels like you're sacrificing family time or friend time or you time. But that's a season of life. You know, that's how you build businesses. That's how you build things. And you've built now so many of them. And Libby, for you, thinking about what Erica just said, like, you're helping her to maintain the schedule and where she shouldn't go. But also you also do the marketing for all the other companies as well. So how do you approach that whole thing to keep her sane and grounded, but also promote all the other businesses and make sure that everyone's getting what they want of her and of Waseem and of Shakira, and making it all tick? Because that seems like a giant workload for you as well.
Yeah. Well, right now I would say we're definitely, or at least I am, trying to reel it in a little bit and not be so overextending. So many different projects that we have happening that I felt like I wasn't able to dedicate enough time to all of the different social media accounts that we've created and run. So, you know, that's been a transition right now. Actually, I've started kind of giving up control. And like Erica and I both are very protective of the accounts that we run and the content that we create and the way, the vision that we have for certain accounts. So we've, and I've had to have some candid conversations with her about letting that kind of protectiveness go and let, you know, trust someone else to take it and do what they want with it. And we work with them to, you know, make sure that the content is on brand and on what we kind of want to see in our voice and our style, but also like, it's great to bring in new people or a new person to help spur new creativity and new content. Like I felt so for, I've been doing Moksha's Instagram for almost 3 years now. And it just got to a point where I was not able to like physically even come up with something anymore because you really go through your whole repertoire of all the different types of content that you've created for the past 3 years. And you're just like, all right, like for a business, I think I've tapped out. I'm capped right now at creating content at this point for this specific account. I need someone else to take over this account. And then I'm going to focus on a different account. So kind of our strategy is for me is starting accounts and starting to get them to get them to where we want them to be and have that initial growth and then create an account that's self-sustaining and then hope that it's, you know, can go out on its own and kind of be self-sustaining. But with our business, Moksha's Instagram it's almost at 30,000 followers, which is pretty significant for a business. And I think in general, there was just so much that we were bringing on and so many like different things that we wanted to deals and promos that we wanted to do. And I was just like, I'm not able to put as much time as like what we still want to put into it. So we ended up hiring a new full-time social media manager for Moksha, and she's amazing. And she has more of a focus on TikTok, which I thought was great because Instagram is our wheelhouse. Eric and I, we are Instagram girlies through and through. We started off like Erica's Instagram, working on it like together in 2017. And then, you know, we've grown it and we've just been always Instagram, Instagram, Instagram. Not to say we aren't always on TikTok. Eric and I just aren't as good at TikTok. We like, for some reason, can't get it. And you know, a lot of it makes sense, right? The content that Erica's always posted has been targeted for Instagram. It does a specific thing for her following on that platform. And even if we take something that we post on TikTok that would do well on TikTok and then put it on Instagram, it's not going to do well as well because we curated it for a following on TikTok that Erica's Instagram following might not relate to or just engage with because it's just not the type of content her account is typically pushing out. And so the algorithm will also get kind of confused and other things along those lines. But yeah, so I think when it comes to me managing so many different accounts, it's gotten to a point where now I need to kind of outsource and train some people to help and provide guidance to people to help manage accounts and create content. So potentially that's something that I might be getting into in terms of having my own company where I do have some people that I can outsource and just, they can work remotely or per city or something like that. Or working on potentially having more content days in terms of having days where we have like demo models who come in and we can invite other providers either in the area or if they want to fly in or whatever, maybe to come in and we have all these models lined up and we are able to help them get content and help them get before and afters and expand their portfolio of content. So I think that could be really beneficial as well. I think that just empowering injectors and individuals to really feel comfortable showing their face and showing their life on social media. And, you know, I'm always telling our injectors, like, there's so many great med spas in our area now. And we're friends with everyone, all med spas. And it's not business versus business. And it's not injector versus injector. But if you want to increase the amount of people that are in your chair specifically, like, why would I choose you over another injector? What it's going to come down to a lot of times is like everyone's so good these days, honestly, because Eric has trained literally everyone. So they're all really, really good. Everyone in our community, I could go to anyone in this area for the most part and feel comfortable. But why would I choose to go to Erica, or why would I choose? And why do so many people choose to go to Erica? Is they feel a connection to her. She's shares her life, and she obviously can't be best friends with everyone, but you feel like she's your best friend. And so that's why, you know, people are choosing to come to an individual person as just someone that they feel a connection with and that feel like they would trust to treat them. And
I have a question for Erica, kind of talking about what you mentioned, Libby, about being friends with everybody and being like in the community. For one thing, on social media, Erica, you do kind of let your whole life. I mean, we see your whole life. We see the house in Miami. We see Jack is potty training in the living room. We see everything, which is great. As a mother, I watch it and think I'm not alone. You know, I watch it and think, gosh, you're also having the struggles of trying to raise a child and be a business person and maintain friendships. And I feel like that's what gets left out for me is the friendships. I'm just too busy. But you're kind of doing it all. But I know that you are the anti-mean girl. I put this in our little outline. I've never heard you talk bad about someone, call someone out, be an asshole. Like that's never been your approach. You don't take that. You're always like the high road. I know that this is who you are as a person, but that's an easy trap on social media to get into because it gets likes, it gets follows, it gets eyeballs, it gets engagement. You just don't do it. So at some point, did you sort of creatively direct your brand and say, I am who I am, but I'm going to be this person and cognizant of all these things online? Are you just anti-mean girl, which I think everyone should be, but how do you navigate the mean girl and the memes and the TikTok dancing and all the things that are such I guess thirst traps, if you will, and rise above that to not be that kind of person?
I just believe we all have shitty days, right? We all have days where we don't look right, dance right, say the right thing. Like, who am I to call anyone out? Like, why? I just think it's such an unfair thing, because especially if you have a platform, people are listening to you and you don't know who's listening to you. And for you to call someone out is just so inappropriate. I can't even say. I believe give everyone a chance. You never know. Even when I hear someone, and Libby protects me of this very much so, because I do not want to hear if someone is talking ill of me. I do not. If it's one of my employees, fine, come to me, because I would like to handle that. But I cannot, I don't want to hear anything about me, because I know people say things like, I'm not dumb. I know things are said, but in the back of my head, I only care that Libby thinks I'm a good person, that you think I'm a good person, that my child thinks I'm a good person, and my husband. Like, that is it, the end of the day. And everyone else that does hate on me, it's because of something they're going through. And if you hate someone, it's because you're going through something. So what I should do is show you more love, because if you're acting like an asshole, it's because, again, something's probably going on in your life. So why would I be mean back to you? It's gonna make it worse. I might as well just be nicer to you. And I grew up a tomboy playing sports, and so I only had friends that were guys. And so college, I was like, what is wrong with women? Like, women are crazy. And then my first job was with all male surgeons. There was one female attending on our service, and she became really close. We like bonded over that. But I was used to working with men, and it was just easy because they like say what they say. They might say things inappropriately, but they say things and it just gets it done. But with going to the med spa world, I was just like, wow, there's a lot of personality. And I decided from day one, the way to navigate any drama is to not get involved. When someone's talking badly, all you do is just excuse yourself from the situation. Don't feel like you have to make it right. Don't feel like you have to give them a lecture. Just walk away and say, I hope you have a great day. And that's it. And when anyone wants to talk ill of any injector, I just simply ignore it. And I don't know if that's the right way to handle it. I have no idea. I'm sure therapists would say something else, but I don't know. I love that theory that there's a jar. I just posted it the other day on Patreon, but you have a jar like this. And in the jar, you have your golf balls, and then you have your sand. And let's say the golf balls are your family and the sand is like your work. And then the dirt put in there is the drama. And you could see like there's only so much that the can hold. So if you have more of the dirt, the drama, the good stuff doesn't have room in there. So for me, I'm like, get rid of the dirt. Like, don't participate in drama. Don't even get involved. There's like this Instagram page called Derm Bitch. What is it called? Derm.
Like, yeah, I think that's it.
And people were like up in arms over this. And Libby and I were like, we love this. This is great. We love their content. Because to me, it's like, you're bringing my name at the table. I don't care if it's good, bad, muck it through the water. I really believe you can't really control your reputation. You control your character. That's it. People can say whatever they want to say. They can say Erica Berry has four arms. They can say anything about me, but I know my character. And that's more important than your reputation or your image or your Instagram following. And just rise above, because if you're so busy, you don't even have time for that. You are booked and busy. You are on time. You got meetings. You got conferences. You got to go to Aesthetic Next. Like, we are booked and busy. We have no time for drama. And we love, if someone's going to make a hate page about us, or I love it, like, tag me in the content. I'm going to see it.
Just get a good picture of me if you do it. Make sure that I look good in the headshot that you put on there.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, at least please don't, make sure I don't have like a booger in my nose or something. So I love it. We find it hilarious.
Yeah, everyone, I mean, it's, in a way, it's like to try to switch your mentality that it's flattering. I mean, it's clearly a lot of times from a place of insecurity, especially if someone's doing it from an anonymous account. There's definitely so many layers and reasons and yeah, so, you know, it's flattering in a way that someone wants to spend their time doing that kind of stuff. I've never taken anything personally. I think sometimes Erica, because she's such a giving person, she wants everyone to like her. Like, she wants to be, she doesn't want to upset anyone or ruffle any feathers. I'm of the different mentality. I mean, like, I'm not ever going to do anything too purposefully by any means. I'm very like loving, accepting, but if someone is going to just not like me for whatever reason, not that I have like as many haters as Erica, no offense, Erica, but Erica's so big that obviously she's going to get some haters, you know, we every now and then, but, I don't even know who these people are. Like, that doesn't bother me one bit. I'm like totally fine with it. I like Erica said, like, they need more love. Like, they need more, like, obviously maybe they're going through something. If they, I generally just feel bad. Like, that they have enough time on their hands to even like spend doing that kind of behavior or acting in that way or feeling that way. But, I think we draw the line though, when we get nasty comments coming for like our patients on Instagram. And I've talked about this before, where then we're like, oh, hell no. Like, if you're going to comment, because our patients like are the first up there in the comments, like looking what people say. And if someone's commenting, like, first of all, none of your business. If you have anything negative to say, if you're another provider, like, if you feel like you would have done something different, great. You are more than welcome to like slide in our DMs and let us know, if, I guess, like, always welcome to hear that feedback from other, from our peers, but especially when it comes from other injectors or other, aesthetic providers talking about like how the results don't look good. Like, that is so, it's not even for like, we're happy to chat with you, whatever, but it's for like our patients looking at those comments and like, just remember that they're really looking through those. And that's like the number one thing we want to protect. And if they feel confident and happy, and that's all that matters. And yeah, so it's, that's where we draw the line and we say, yeah. Blocked.
Yeah. delete. Like, yeah, I do delete those comments. Because a patient, it is really giving me that honor to post them. And it's a vulnerability, right? Like, it's hard to, if you're even being in the med spa, it's hard to even step foot in the med spa, let alone let this person with 300,000 followers post your work. So a lot of times Libby's really good at looking at those comments, and then she'll go through and delete. So, cause a lot of times, I'm not gonna lie, I'll post something, I don't even look at the comments days. And then if I'm sitting on a plane, I'll go through it to interact with my community. But I don't want to miss a bad comment, because that is detrimental to someone that maybe doesn't have my thick skin, that I, you know, ooh. So I really want it. Sometimes if I get one or two of them, I'll just go ahead and turn off comments on the whole thing, or I'll like archive the post. Cause it's happened to me dozens of times. I mean, I've been posting since 2015. So it's almost been 10 years. So I've gotten through it all. We've, anything Instagram related, we've gone through it. We've dealt with it. So we need to write a book.
We'd much rather have people attacking like Erica's image or like Erica's like appearance. All that, right. Like, when you say us, you can attack, but when it comes to like our family, our families and our patients, like, no, those are our babies. Like, that's crossing the line, right? Erica's very loyal and very protective of the people and things that she loves. So she's like, she'll take hits all the time. That doesn't, you know, we don't even bat our eyes, but when it comes to And then I think that's even when it comes to each other. And that's why, you know, when I'm on her Instagram, if I see something and I don't tell her if it's something that like could actually hurt her feelings. It's just like messed up. Like you shouldn't have to see it. Like neither of us, you know, need to know those things or see those things. And so we're protective of each other in that sense. But yeah, it's always good to have some haters. That means you're doing something right.
That's my mantra. If they're not talking about you, you don't matter. If no one hates you, you're not doing big enough things to scare them. And if you're not doing that, then I mean, you're just one of many. But you know, even here, if they come for me, I don't care, whatever. People meet me and they're like, oh, you're actually pretty nice. Like, did I look mean? Do I sound scary? Like, I think I'm the nicest person ever. But people are always shocked, I think, when they meet a person in real life and they met them on Instagram. It's like, oh, you're not who I thought you'd be. Or my friends all said you were a certain way and you really weren't that way. And I think that's just the nature of the beast with the Instagram world that we live in. But, you know, if you come for the team, come for the patients, I just think they also own a business. If they're an injector, they own a business as well. They would die if you came onto their business page and said awful things about their patients. They would, especially with your persona, how big you are, they'd be like, oh my God, they'd be mortified. But they'll go do it on yours and not think a thing about it. So, but I love on your stories, like when people are hateful and they come for you, you're like, you know, you take it on the chin and put fun things like, you know what? I am really skinny. I've been working really hard. I haven't been able to eat. I've been traveling. Like you just take it in stride. Like it's no big deal. And so I think people take a lesson from that. I've got a friend right now who's in an Instagram battle. I'm like, stop battling. Just let it go. Like it says more about you getting involved than it would if you just like walked away and just let it be. Like let her have her own issues. But it's hard not to get sucked in, I'm sure. But people think about you, Erica, as a teacher, an educator, a mentor, that brands come to you for that. I think because you're not controversial, they all want to work with you. We see that if you are controversial, they kind of drop you over time because you're just too polarizing. But this idea that you do teach the world, like you are teaching everyone, how do you have time for that and like mentoring others, pouring into them? Because that's a lot of mind energy to like really work with someone as they build their career out. And do you envision like long-term doing far more of that and less of like the injection part of it, or where does that all fit into your world of being like, I guess in a sense, a full-time teacher in many ways?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I fill my cup from. So, I love content creation, but I'm not gonna lie. Social media pours my cup out. It is very draining. I put too much of it on Libby's shoulders, but teaching and training, especially with Wasim and Shakira, it makes the joy I have after teaching for an 8-hour day or 10-hour day. And Patreon gives me such joy. I almost like feel selfish because it is just the best feeling in the world when you teach someone and they're like, Erica, you gave me the confidence. Now I open my mouth, like, look at this before and after I created because of you. Like it just is the best feeling in the world. And it's fun. It's fun to show people because, you know, the way I was trained was see one, do one, teach one kind of mentality. So, and I came from a UCSF and Hopkins. So they're research institutions and training hospitals. So you have always residents and attendings and a big staff, like, you know, team of 20, and they teach everybody. There's like no competition. So the whole med spa, oh, I'm an allergy trainer, but I'm not going to train someone within a 5-mile radius. I'm like, shouldn't you train them more? Because they're in it was just such a backwards mentality. I was like, no. If they have good results, I have good results. The more patients they have, the more patients I have. Like it's a very symbiotic relationship. It's just like when you plant a flower in a field, like if all the flowers are around the flower are dying, that flower is not going to survive. So to me, I'm always like flourish, like put fertilizer everywhere and it makes me flourish. And that mentality is really stuck over years. And I just, anyone that is dealing with difficulty of like, I don't want to train my competition. I'm like, change your mentality, invite them out. Tequila and margaritas fix all of the world's problems. Go out and have a freaking drink and do a tequila shot and you'll be best friends within 20 minutes. I promise you. So I'm really big into like, you have an enemy in your town or you have someone that you're not getting along with, go out to drinks because believe me, you're going to need a Hylenex one day. You're going to have a patient issue one day. You will become friends. So anyone around me, I'm like, you better like margaritas and chips and salsa because we're going out. But that mentality is just more fun. Like, isn't it more fun to just hang out with people? So, trainings with Wasim are just the best in the world. It's like, it's a vacation when we go out, we have so much fun together and he's my mentor. He's the reason why I'm even here. He's a goofball, you know, Wasim so well. And, he's just a 10 times the injector I am, 10 times the trainer I am. And we just like feed off of each other so well. Like he'll say something and I'll say something and we just like our ping pongs back and forth. So it's fun. We have a blast. Our company is Aesthetic Intel. So we own that training company together. And so we do trainings and we used to do a lot more, but obviously family and businesses. So we try to do them at least every like 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, I just saw on your site today, there's some coming up very soon, but you mentioned Waseem being a mentor and the training part of it. Who taught you how to do it? Because I feel like that's the other part of this. Being on stage, I heard a statistic and I hear it all the time that people would rather die than be a public speaker. Like they'd rather be dead than go on stage and speak. I've never had that fear. I feel like I have a lot of things to say. So like, shut me up, I dare you kind of thing. You're on stage all the time as well. Who gives you, you know, feedback and coaches you, or do you just do it on your own to learn how to work the stage and be a great educator? Because it's different than teaching someone in a room with you side by side and then going on Patreon and doing it on video or also in a room of 1,000 people. So how do you learn that? Tell us how to become more like you, because I feel like that's one thing that no one's teaching right now, that we should start a training program for that. How to be a podium speaker. There you go. There's your next business idea.
Well, I think the biggest thing is I'm a nerd. I don't think people, I say, you know, people say like, oh, I'm a nerd. Like, no, I'm an actual nerd. Like Game of Thrones blogs. Like I was in the math league all through college. Like I'm an actual nerd. I read a lot of books. So there's so many books out there on charisma and public speaking and big on, I have confidence, but sometimes you don't exude that confidence through podcasts or on stage, but making sure you're not jerky. And I talk to like Waseem all the time. He'll like kind of slump down, or Libby was making fun of us. Sometimes he'll like look off in the distance. I'm like, Waseem, like look straight ahead. And just, I studied Steve Jobs and all of his talks. And his big thing was he would use his hands like 1, 2, 3, and like making, you want to make the content as easy as possible for your audience to eat, to enjoy, to take in, especially with injecting, right? It's like there's so much rheology and math and there's a lot to consume. So for me, like speaking very slowly and walking slowly, and you don't like do jerky movements, and people want to laugh. So I'm really big on kind of starting off with storytelling, or I love Kobe Bryant and I love Michael Jordan and I love any motivational kind of talk, but I usually start off with that to break the ice and people like, oh, I can breathe. And then I say like, stop taking notes, just sit down and freaking enjoy the show for 30 or 45 minutes. But yeah, it's not taught, but now with the power of, they say we consume more content in one 24-hour period than Napoleon did in his whole lifetime, which is, I guess, a good and a bad thing, right? But I think it's cool. Like you can Google how to be the best public speaker and you have free YouTubes. So I have it on my Patreon. You have it anywhere, but I love, it's, I think $6 on Amazon, The Art of Charisma. I'm really big on that book. And then Steve Jobs has a bunch of stuff out about how he did public speaking and practice the rule of 100. So anything you want to master, you do 100 times and then you're better than 94% of the world, 100 times. So if you want to be a great public speaker, do it 100 times. So when I started speaker tours and whatnot, I decided I'm going to do as many as I physically possibly can to get under my belt. So I continue every time. And the first person I call when I'm done is Libby. I run up to the room. I'm like, oh God, shit. I really fumbled on this part and I said the wrong thing. And I like critique myself and I love to watch myself. And I just constantly 1% better, 1% better. Like as deck next this year, I'm like, okay, I want to do this. I want to make sure I talk about this. I want to make sure I use eye contact here. I want to use this outfit, like very mindful. And I practice months beforehand. And that's the thing. I don't just throw it together last minute. Preparation is everything. I show up early. I come prepared. I don't go out drinking the night before. I'm in bed by 8, 9 p.m. Be professional.
Oh, that last part. That's a big one. It warms my heart. Be professional. Get prepared. Be prepared. Be there. Be ready. I think now people come into the industry and they're injecting for a year, maybe 2 years, and all of a sudden they're going to be you, right? They're going to have their own training programs. They're going to be on stage. And I get tons of hate mail around aesthetic next time that I'm not putting people on stage who are like brand new. Like, well, I'm so great. I'm like, you've been working for 2 years as an injector. You're going to get questions on stage that are really hard. And you're going to be expected to know the answers to things that you've never even done before, never seen before. And I'm not putting you in that position because you can't successfully answer that. And you're going to guide someone else down the wrong path because you don't know the answer. I feel like there comes a point where you're not ready yet. You know, there's like this line in the sand, this light that goes off that says, now you've done enough that you can go be an expert and talk about it. And even then you have to still keep learning and growing and changing, but they're just not ready yet. And so, you know, for you, you're doing it with companies all over the country, all the time, whether it's Evolus, it's Galderma, whoever it is, every day, Libby mentioned you guys are doing content in your own practice for those brands. How do you work with the brands? Because I think teaching injectors is one thing, but working with brands like a corporate ambassador is a whole different vibe with a whole different level of preparation. So what is that like compared to, you know, all the things that we love you for as an injector?
I definitely learned early on to have a professional do it. So that would be Libby. I get very passionate and I say yes to everything. And then I'm like, yes, I want to do it. And then I'm like, Libby, help. And then she works with the contract negotiations, what I can say. Cause for me, I again want to put everything on the line and say everything. She's like, you can't say this. This is like a legal freaking reel that you're doing for this big company. You have to be really mindful. You can't say this. You can say this. So she's my guide and like my guardian angel. Right. And, so you have to work with someone that knows what they're doing. So either a brand manager or someone that works with contract negotiations, because it is a big deal. And these brands are spending a lot of money and time on you. And again, professionalism has to just trump everything. It has to be number one. And I think that's where injectors kind of drop the ball and they're like, oh, no big deal. I'm just going to cancel this. Or I'm just going to not do this. I'm like, no, like you can't cancel. For me, I canceled one time because I was literally barfing my brains out and Libby remembers. And I was just sobbing. I was so upset. I've never canceled ever. I've never missed a day of work in my life. The day I gave birth, I worked in the morning and then I was induced at night. And I just think that's so important, work ethic. But Libby is, I can't even answer that question because I don't know the answer. Libby,
tell us how you do it.
So I guess in terms of, I mean, there's different ways that we partner with brands. So sometimes we partner and we promote something or work on a paid promotion on Erica's platform on her Instagram. We usually are, you know, I think so. One thing that I want to go back and say is, you have to have a yes mentality. Erica has always had this where she just says yes to everything, like always try something new, always put yourself in an uncomfortable situation. Like the main thing that holds so many people back is like fear of the unknown or like fear that they aren't going to do well or whatever, just fear in general. So definitely, you know, when she was approached with just even one opportunity back in the day, she would say yes no matter what. And then she would make it happen every single time. And anytime a brand or company needed her or even other injectors or whoever, like she was there for them and to help them. And she never said no and was just like consistent. So consistency is not only super important on social media and maintaining your presence there, but also just in life and showing up. And eventually you're going to get presented more and more opportunities. And we take everything we do really seriously. When we started the podcast today, I was talking about how I was so excited for Aesthetic Next and that it should be, you know, Aesthetic Fashion Week. And that is one of the main things. We love going and picking out our outfits and looking pretty and dressing up and getting, like, talk about getting content. Everyone should be going to Aesthetic Next just if only just for 4 days just to get
everybody
content.
Should go to Aesthetic Next. I don't care who you are, get your ass to Aesthetic Next. You have to go just for the content week, the whole week.
Yeah, exactly. And like you're cross promoting with so many other injectors across the country, and you never know, like your content might speak like well to a follower of another injector who's the followers just never like gone in or whatever. And you know, there's so much to go around in this industry, and it's like the more that we can support each other and like endorse each other and promote each other, and the better that we'll do to ourselves is like always our mentality. And but in regards to when we're at Aesthetic Next, I'm like, you know, and our friends want to go out and party. And I know a lot of people do like go out and party and drink and get party buses and all of that and have fun. And you should, like, by all means. But Erica and I are like, no, thank you. We're going to go to bed. I was dragged to a rodeo or a line dance or something one of the nights. And I was like, midnight, nope, going to bed. Like, I was only did one talk with Erica. And then I was on a panel. But even so, I'm like, I'm really there. Like, I'm there. I'm working, like I'm with Erica working. This is, yes, it's fun. It's a great like content trip, but like, this is work for us. Like the number of people that Erica interacts with. And then when I'm with her, I'm interacting with them. Or sometimes even when I'm walking alone, like someone may recognize me or something. And I can't be hungover and in a bad mood. And especially Erica can't be hungover in a bad mood. I mean, we pride ourselves on, you know, being friendly and happy and extroverted, and we need to protect that ability. So just take things seriously, like say yes to as many things as you can, and then also be consistent and take it seriously. Not only does that like go so far with your peers, but also go so far with like you, Tiffany, and like out of respect. And like, it's just really important to us. And we take everything we do really, really seriously. And like, because we love our jobs and we love this industry, and especially we love the community. And so we just always want to be the best versions of ourselves. And I think people get caught up in these conferences being so fun and drinks and whatever and all this stuff. And then sometimes I'm like, if I'm not talking or something, and I'm not working, then I'm going to be learning. I mean, I'm here, you know, like
so. Lectures. Yeah. I attended over 30 lectures at Tech Next, still doing 8 of my own, because I learned so much, like all that content, that it makes me a better injector. Like it's just no brainer.
And just, I think, to go support others. I mean, to be in someone's audience and they look out and they see you in their audience, I mean, that has to feel great that other injectors care enough who are busy to go watch them lecture and about their content and what they think is important. Like, I feel like that's a heartwarming thing for people to give a shit about you. I mean, especially if you're newer to this and someone's a huge name as an advocate of you in the audience. I don't know. I think this is a great thing to do, especially if they're a little bit nervous on stage and they're unsure of themselves. Like, having you in their corner is a big deal. But anyway, sorry, Libby, keep going.
In terms of the working with brands, yeah, it just starts with one brand. Like I would suggest if people are really wanting to, or people listening are really wanting to collaborate with a brand, whether it's, again, on paid promotion on Instagram or doing a talk, doing an event, or even being a trainer for a brand, like obviously find your favorite product at the moment, or one of your favorites, or one that you rely on and use often, and connect with that rep and talk with them and see what kind of opportunities they have. That's, you know, Erica wasn't afraid to, it's not like we've been sitting around like just doing Instagram and then everyone came to us and was like, can you do this? But yeah. And then when it comes to contract negotiations, I mean, I was lucky enough to have spent a couple years, or sorry, like a half a year in LA before COVID hit, working in talent management, working with influencers and doing a lot of contract negotiations and promotional collaborations and stuff like that. So it's funny how it all works out full circle, and me coming back to DC and working with Erica, not only on social media and just the management of her time, but like also management of her collaborations with these brands, and just having that experience, because it is a very niche thing. And so now I am able to bring together both her as an injector and in medicine and in aesthetics, and then also as an influencer. And that does require a little extra heavy lifting, because there, you know, are different barriers we have to climb over in terms of like FDA compliance and stuff like that. But
your favorite, yeah. FDA compliance.
That's always tricky, right? Because we can't say a specific thing. We have to stay on label generally for a lot of these things. So Erica's always pushing the limits with
when we go. I say that on stage, I'm like, Maluma. She's like, don't sue Maluma.
Yes, she's a CME nightmare. I'm kidding. But you mentioned that I worked for Galderma for obviously, you know, forever. And the FDA thing is so hard, especially for people who are very authentic online or on social or on stage, to say, you can't be authentic anymore. You've got to be you. But in the little tiny box we're going to put you in that says you can only say these four things. And if you don't, you know, you're breaking the rules. It's crazy hard. I think there's a whole skill set to being an FDA trainer as well, like an FDA approved trainer, because even if you think it's maybe not the right choice for that situation, you can't often say why, or you can't, I mean, you just got to go with the flow, whatever they tell you can do. It's so hard. So I sympathize. But yeah, I think what you mentioned, Libby, about having negotiated contracts before, when an influencer of any, you know, outside of aesthetics talks and the needle moves, you get paid tons of money. Like Kardashians, if they say, I don't know, a 10-second word about your brand, you pay $1 million, like stupid money, right? Stupid money that they get for these things that they do. When Erica talks, the needle moves. You know, Anil Rajani is one of those guys too. I work with him a lot. He said, you know, if I do a YouTube about a brand, they sell 1,000 units in like the first 6 seconds of my YouTube. Like, it's just insane. He's like, but we could never charge that because we're in aesthetics. We could never charge what you would charge as a real influencer, because people don't expect that from us as doctors and nurses. How do you get through that? Because I feel like when you talk, people buy. The needle moves for sure. They do different things, and they don't ever want to pay what you're actually worth. And so does that ever make your decision to do things, not do things? Because I feel like you're the easiest person in the world to deal with. Like, everyone's like, oh, I bet she's a diva. I'm like, she's the easiest person. You just say yes, you deliver things, you do things, you're just easy. but it's also part of it is it's still a business, still a brand. So how much of that factors into it? Like, do you get paid? Do you not get paid? Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? All those kinds of things, the dark secrets of aesthetics.
I mean, for Erica, you know, I'm the one who handles her rates and stuff. And that's where I go in. I'm like, hey, I work with influencers. I've worked with, I'm working for her right now as her manager, as an influencer. I'm not working for her. We have practice managers. I'm not working for her as like random, you know, not know what's going on. I'm her manager. Like if she was signed to a company, it would be Social by Libby, you know, like that. I'm representing her with these brands. And so when it comes to negotiations and stuff like that, and they mentioned fair market value, bye, gotta go.
We're like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know how to but she's not going to be fair market value. Like, what's your fair market value to offer her as an influencer, right? Like, I'm not looking at it as an hourly for a nurse practitioner rate. Like, this is not, she's not providing her services as a nurse practitioner. You want her for her reach right now. Like, we're promoting something on her Instagram. Like, you're utilizing and marketing and advertising across a specific platform that we've cultivated and we own. So we have to, and not only that, but like in medicine, like we're not just going to promote anything that just someone sends us something and we want to promote it. Like it has to be like serious stuff. Like we are also taking liability in terms of working with one brand over the other. Being ethical is like my number one thing all the time. That's like where I go into everything that I do on social media in an ethical way. There is no nursing board for people like me. There is no nursing board for Instagram. Your Instagram can get randomly taken down, but like you are in control of what you say. And so that's why being ethical yourself is so important. You have to tell the truth. You shouldn't be editing your before and afters. Like, there's so many things and aspects to Instagram that you need to maintain a level of ethics in. But I approach the brands and I'm very like honest about what, you know, we've kind of determined is her rate for specific things that they want, that they're asking. And we don't do too many paid promotions on our Instagram just because of the federal, the FDA, the loopholes, it takes forever. And then the company's legal team takes forever. So I generally don't like that as much. And it's just, usually they're scripted because it's legal, like compliance too. And Erica's an amazing speaker off the cuff. Like, she's so motivational. She's terrible at reading a script. It's like,
I would disagree with that statement.
I have to and she can't remember lines. Like, I could do it because I acted in plays and stuff. I remembered lines when I was little, but she has like terrible memory when it comes to like reciting things.
I have the best memory in the world. I have a photographic memory. Why I can't remember lines, I have no idea.
Can't remember lines and like names often she struggles with as well. Or just like she just is bad with pronouncing things too. But so it just like isn't as great. What we really love is like Erica, I love webinars, doing some webinars for different companies. And just what I always say is like, hey, Erica has a platform where we can kind of like really talk to a specific audience of injectors. And she is, you know, what she can do is get people to listen to something. So you have to come up with what you want her to talk about, or not come up with, but kind of you have to present the information. Like, we can get people's attention. You have to have that information in order to sell them on something or share your product with them. And so I'm like, that's really where her power is, and is having people who like listen to what she has to say. We are very transparent with brands that we would never favor one product over the other because Erica does some talks for one versus the other. At the end of the day, she's a medical provider and she's choosing the product based on the patient's needs and the patient's medical history.
We've been on for like a long time, who knew? But I do want to ask before we kind of wrap up here, I have a question, Erica, to kind of what Libby's saying about being ethical and, you know, the right patients in the chair and all these different things. Like, you do have a huge platform. You do have a big following. And when you say things, they matter. So what is your end goal with that? You know, as far as like advocacy, taking up causes, we talk a lot on the show about having standards, and the med spa space doesn't really have any standards right now. And so what, you know, at some point, are you hoping to do some of that kind of work and become, you know, almost like the ambassador of our world to, you know, legal, to representatives, Senate, whoever, Congress, to talk on our behalf? Or is that a thing that even interests you? Because the answer could be, I have no interest in doing any of that stuff. But what do you do with this platform once you kind of ridden this wave of like, you know, you at some point Jack will be older, you'll be like, I'm not going to travel so much, you know, things will have to change. What do you want to do next with all of this?
I think that is something that is so important to Libby and I. Libby comes from, her grandfather's a senator and long line of lawyers. And I feel so strongly about that because it's so scary. When I started my platform and started Patreon, I would just learn something and I'm like, oh, do you mind if I show this on my Patreon? And I would show it. And then I would have a message being like, FYI, that's like extremely unsafe, because like those tubes are not sanitary. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just shared this to how many people? Like, I feel disgusting. Like, I can't believe that. And like, take it down. So like right now, when we learn content, it's through Instagram, TikTok, Patreon, even people that, like you said, they become injectors, they start their school after 1 year of being an injector, and they could be teaching us the wrong thing. Recently, you know, I learned that Upneek doesn't help with resorius, or like mouth ptosis, like all these things that I'm like, oh, I thought it did. Like, I heard it did. And I've been preaching this. And then Codafon is like, no, like the anatomy doesn't work that way. And we're constantly learning things. So I think we do need a regulation board 100%. I think that will be my next endeavor as an injector and a trainer, is working with, we need regulations. It's insane, the regulations. Even getting malpractice insurance to travel abroad and inject, Libby and I are like jumping through these loops. They're like, oh, it's okay, she can inject on stage. We're like, can I? Like, we need a regulation. We need black and white yes or no answers. And you need to go through a rigorous process to become an injector. I think they're incredible nurse injectors. I think they're incredible doctor injectors. There's like, I don't care about the degree so much as you have to go through this like regulation process and this exam. And then you need a certain amount of training hours, because I have to tell you the things that I've even said and I preach, I've learned like crap that is wrong. And I will get on there and say, you guys don't do this. I've now learned this instead. Every 6 months I change my technique. I'm like, oh, don't use this needle, don't use this cannula, use this gauge, do that. So I think we do need a regulation board. I think that's such a great point. And you know what? It's not sexy or fun. And that's why I think it's not pushed harder. It needs to become sexy and fun. Like, we really need to focus on that. I think that is coming. I know Dr. Russo is amazing. He's working really hard on it. I know Kevin, I know Wasim, I know Larry Blevins. There's so many great leaders, Audrey Rose, in this industry that are really working hard on it. So hopefully it's coming soon. We need to get started on it, but I know we will. I know it's in the woodworks.
Yeah. I think your voice behind it and some of the big names that you just mentioned, if we can all come together, you know, get you guys all in a room and say, let's just figure something out and start. I think that's part of it, is people who are making those laws or thinking about those standards aren't the ones who are doing it every day. And they're not the ones in the rooms hearing the people, you know, hearing the injectors say things that they've learned, obviously they've learned 6 months later not to say anymore. You know, it's just, we're too far removed from it, I think, from, I mean, obviously you guys know the legislation aspect of it seems so far away from us here, but we've got to be in those rooms. We've got to be, you know, I think someone has to go march to Congress and get this thing fixed, because it's an epidemic here in Texas for sure. I know it was all over the country.
It's people's lives. Like, when I hear about some of the things that are going, like, this is someone's face. Like, this is serious. This is a big deal. It can be disfiguring. It can lead to blindness and bone infection, osteomyelitis. Like, there's so many issues, and people see the money in aesthetics and that's what they're going after. And I'm like, listen, dude, I love it, but you have to know how to treat your complications. And the more experienced you can become, the less you do. The more, for me, I just do home runs. I do very foundational injections. I very rarely do like neurotoxin. I do crazy things, but we have to be safe. We have to refer out. We have to have this, like, I love that I like for a nurse practitioner, I don't need a medical director, but you better believe I have a list of 10 physicians I can call right now if I have an issue with blindness, blurred vision, infection, wound care. Like, you have to have that network. It's imperative. You have to. It's not just injecting someone's face. It's medicine, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, ladies, have been on for a long time. I could talk to you guys both for, I don't know, 100 years, 100 hours. You'll be in aesthetic next, so you better be. This is your required attendance. You're not getting invited. You're being told you have to be there. So I hope you're both there. We've got some fun things to share in the work, so I can't wait to have you come back. And I may have to call you, Libby, for some more content ideas of all of our little Instagram stations all around the conference. Make sure I have enough cool stuff for content creation.
Well, you know what I was just thinking of really quick is maybe doing like what I was just talking about of like having a content day, but like a content area, and like also having patients like for demos, like before and afters for social media, and like an injector can come and do like a lip filler or do like an 8-point lift or cheek filler, whatever. And, you know, some social media managers could be there, get some before and afters, get some content, and it could be like a little package and like have like.
Genius. You're genius.
So fun. I'd be happy to help with that if you're interested in doing that or something along those lines. And we can maybe try it out, try like a little thing. And like, I don't know. That would be fun. See how it goes.
And by the way, if you're repping any folks here in Dallas, we have a studio here and a whole injection suite, and we film all the time. So come over with all your people, bring your cameras. I've got a whole camera crew, and we've got beds and lights and all the things. Come out and do some direction, and we'll get you what you need. But I think those are the kind of things you got to do. You got to invest time to go places and film and get a social media expert, and you got to have good cameras and good lighting, and you got to do the hair and makeup. You just got to do the stuff. And you know, until you're big enough that it no longer matters. When you're starting out, you have to invest the time, and you got to invest in your brand. And it just takes, you know, it takes a little bit of moolah, but it takes a whole lot of patience and a whole lot of energy too. So you guys are slaying it.
It's fun. It's hard, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Fun's a word I don't know that I'd use all the time, Libby. Sometimes I hate it so much. I'm like, one more Instagram post, my head might explode, but you know.
Me both, girl. You and me both. And Erica too. Take off on her plane out to LA last night and trying to post. She's like, can you share this on my story?
I'm like holding out my phone out the window, like it won't go through. And then I'm like texting Libby in the air, like I'm doing a giveaway post. It's not working. But the one piece of advice I can say is stop thinking about the destination. People are like, what am I gonna get here? What am I gonna get here? I'm like, it is the journey. You gotta enjoy the mucky, muddy journey. And it's for me, I love there's a stupid thing about get uncomfortable. And right now in the US, we live in comfort. We all live in 72 degree, you know, air conditioned inside. We very rarely, it's about 92% of our life, we live indoors. We don't go outside. I'm very like hippie, like you have to earth yourself, go outside barefoot, run barefoot. I'm very big into get uncomfortable and enjoy that being uncomfortable. Because then when you get in the comforts, when you get back inside, you get your shoes on, you take your shower, that's the most enjoyable shower you've ever had, right? Because you've been in the mud and outside in the cold or the heat. So the more you put yourself in uncomfortable positions and you enjoy that uncomfortableness, you're gonna love it. It's gonna be so much more fun. And just enjoy the journey every single day. Don't think, I can't wait to get through this. I'm like, we're here for one freaking life. One time, like enjoy it, work your ass off. Don't take no for an answer. Keep pushing. I really believe, and just you make your own success. You can have anything. It's absolutely incredible. Aesthetics and what you've done for aesthetics, Tiffany, is incredible. You've given so many people a platform. You've given people education. You've given people an EMR. For me, I will use aesthetic record until the day I die. I will never switch ever. It's the only thing I'll ever use. And you've given people just a business. You've done so much. You must be so proud of yourself, and you're an incredible mother. And we're just grateful to be on this podcast with you.
Oh, pardon me while I go cry now. Thank you. You know, you do things and you wonder if it ever makes a difference. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. You do all this stuff and you're like, does anybody even see it? Do they care? Is it helping anyone? Because if it's not helping someone, I'm going to quit doing it. You know, I hope it helps somebody. But I think that's part of, you put things out in the world and you hope that they have an impact. And I know that you guys are both doing some crazy good stuff to make an impact. And the industry is changing rapidly. I know that you're behind a lot of it, just even the vibe, the community aspect, and people wanting to help each other and mentor each other and be there for each other. That was not the case before. I feel like the more you talk about it, the more I see it all around the country. But glad to have you guys on today. Like, thrilled to have you both on. And Libby, anything that you want to say before we jet off of here?
No, I just hope to see everyone at Aesthetic next. So make sure to come find us and come say hi, and let's have some fun and create some fun content. So yeah.
Can't miss us. We're in like loud, crazy outfits with like white boots and our Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfits. Like, we will look crazy. I'm 6'8", so you can't miss us.
Yeah, you won't miss them. And you can check out more about Erica if you don't know all her businesses. You can go to, I think it's injectorsclub.com if I'm not mistaken, Aesthetic Intel, Injector Bunny. Obviously you can check out Moksha. Any other ones that I'm missing?
Our Patreon, my Patreon's Botox Bunny One. It's just, you go Injector Bunny, and Libby's Patreon, who she's changing injectors' lives out here because she has a whole Patreon just dedicated to brand management, social media, TikTok, Instagram, how to make a reel, how to hold your phone, how to do before and afters. So you can go to Patreon, and she is Social by Libby.
And that's her Instagram handle also.
Yep, and that's my Instagram as well. Erica's so good with the promotions. I'm like,
You're like, I don't know what I am. No, I love it. Well, thank you, ladies. Enjoy California. Don't have any more earthquakes. And it's been a hell of a good season for season four. It's been a thrilling season of ups and downs, and we ended it on a very big high note, and I couldn't be more grateful to both of you for coming on today.
Thank you for having us.
We love you.
Love
you guys, and see you very soon. I'll see all of you guys next season for season five of For the Record. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.